Welcome to the podcast of Selmore Baptist Church in Ozark, Missouri. To learn more about our church, please visit selmorebaptist.com. And now, here's the sermon.
Our passage today is from 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, which Brother Nathan's already read part of that. As we look at the book of 1 Peter, we see that he's been giving a lot of ethical advice to the Christians at that time as he's writing this, a lot of information for the pastors, the elders of the churches, how they should behave, how they should conduct their business, information, guidance to each and every believer as well, that they might live in a way that brings glory and honor to God. You know, that is the objective for every Christian. It is our heart's desire to live in such a way that God is glorified, that he is lifted up, that we show to the world that we are true believers in Christ and our faith and hope is in him. Now, this sermon today is going to be primarily for those who have already put their trust in Jesus Christ. It's going to be about how to avoid temptation, how to overcome temptation. That's going to be our study for today. And this is not a self-help sermon. It's not one that, well, anybody can just take these principles and apply them and they'll be a better person. That's not the goal of it at all. The goal is that through the power of the Holy Spirit working in each and every believer, that we would overcome the temptations that come our way and we would be able to serve our Lord and avoid the sin that so often tempts us and draws us away from glorifying Christ. But if you're not a believer yet, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus Christ, then I urge you to remember the truth of the gospel. That Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he is the creator of all things, and that he came to this earth because he loved us so much, and because we had sinned, we had rebelled against God, he came to this earth to pay the price for our sins. Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he rose again on the third day, and he's reigning in heaven today. And he did all this to pay the price for the sins that we couldn't pay the price for. There's no way we can earn our salvation. We can never be good enough. We've already sinned. We've already fallen short of the glory of God. But by putting our trust in Jesus Christ, trusting his sacrifice upon the cross, believing that he is the creator, believing he's God in the flesh, and believing that he has offered salvation to us through believing in him, trusting in him, following in him. We don't have to do anything but that. Put our trust in Jesus Christ. What love he has shown for us. So that's what this message today, what this passage is about. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11, we're going to read it again just because it's such a good passage. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. There is no believer that is safe from temptation. Satan is going to be trying to tempt each one of us, and our flesh is a willing ally of Satan's. We want to join right in there and go do those things that are pleasing to us rather than those things that bring glory and honor to God. Now, Peter is telling us here, here's how you can avoid falling into that trap of temptation and giving into it, and which results in sin. And from this passage, he's going to tell us, first of all, to be self-controlled. Now, if you're reading in the New King James Version, it's probably going to say, be sober-minded. Well, we think of that word self-control that the NIV has. That's a little more understandable for us. But we think of in our youth, how we would often respond to our impulses. We would run amok because we would choose to respond in a quick way. We might even think about how we deal with other people and the things that we might say to them when they say something nasty to us. When they're criticizing us, how do we respond to them? Well, our first impulse is not to say, well, God bless you. But we probably should. But we need to be self-controlled. We need to be under control, thinking before we say something, thinking before we do something, and considering what the scriptures say that we're supposed to do and how Christ would have us to respond to that situation, how he would have us to live. Being self-controlled, not running on our own impulses, not giving in to all of our own desires, but preparing our minds, as Peter said in back in chapter 1, verse 13, prepare your minds for actions, be self-controlled. What kind of action is he talking about? He's talking about action that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Prepare our minds for that, so that we might always be thinking of what the Scripture says, be thinking of what Christ would have us to do, and that we might respond to all the impulses we might have, to all of the input from the world that comes our way, so that we might respond in a way that brings glory and honor to Jesus. That is our goal as believers. We believe that Christ died upon the cross, paying the price for our sins, and he's offered us eternal life, and we are so ever grateful for that, that we want to live in a way that brings glory and honor to him. Amen? That's what we want to do as believers. So we're not talking, as I said, we're not talking about just self-improvement, how to be a better person. We're talking about how to live in a way that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Secondly, he says in this verse, he says, be self-controlled and alert. Be alert. Well, what does he want us to watch out for? Well, we know we have to be alert when we're driving our cars. We have to watch out for those other drivers out there. Watch for the deer running across the road. We got to watch for everything. We have to be alert. Well, in your Christian life, it's the same way. You need to be paying attention to what's going on around you spiritually and what impact that might have upon you, what influence it will have upon you. There are things that are going to be coming upon us. Situations will be put in that will lead us into the opportunity to either sin or to glorify Christ in the way that we respond to it. But we need to be alert and paying attention to what is going on spiritually, what's going on in our own heart, what's going on in the world around us. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, Paul said, let us not be like others who are asleep. They're just going through life lackadaisically, not paying attention to what's going on, but let us be alert and self-controlled. He said, we belong to the day. Let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. As Christians, we don't want to be what would be considered asleep. We don't want to be dull to the world around us in our perception. We want to be alert, recognizing the temptations coming our way, recognizing the elements of spiritual life that are going on around us. Now, our Lord brought out some tendencies for sin that in one of his talks to the disciples, as they were talking about what makes a person unclean. Of course, the Pharisees would try to say, well, you didn't wash your hands right, that makes you unclean. You have to eat the right foods. That was the law from the Old Testament that the Jews had. And Jesus said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean, not what goes into a man. In other words, it's not the food, it's not the washing of hands or having dirty hands that makes a man unclean spiritually. But it comes from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside a man and make him unclean. Notice that most of these were not outward actions. There were a couple that were outward action, but most of them are what's going on in our mind. What's going on in our inner being, as the scripture calls it, our heart. What are we thinking about? What kind of thoughts come in? Before we sin, there's a thought that comes along with that. There's a lust, there's a greed, there's an envy, there is a bitterness. There is something within our hearts, within our thoughts, that have caused us then to take an action on that. And that's what our Lord is speaking of here. Those things are going to come upon us, and we need to be alert against them. When they start creeping in upon us, when those thoughts start creeping in, it's time to deal with them then. and recognize, be alert that that temptation is coming. The third thing that he says here in this passage, Peter says, is know your enemy. He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. First of all, he states something about the devil, doesn't he? Is the devil our friend? No. He says, he is your enemy. It just amazes me that people, even in this country, fall into satanic worship. That they want to serve Satan. They say, well, he's going to win. No, he's not going to win. Scriptures are pretty clear. Christ wins. Christ is the one who is reigning forever, and he's coming back one day, and he's coming in judgment. And he's going to take those who are believers with him, and those who are unbelievers will be sentenced to eternity in the flames of hell. Satan hates every person. People may think that, well, he loves the one who will serve him. No, Satan hates every person because every person has been created by God. You are a creation of God whether you put your trust in Christ or not at this point. And Satan is going to, it may look like he's blessing you, but in the end, there is a great evil that is coming upon you. The devil is your enemy. And he says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. Well, he prowls. He sneaks up on us. You know, the lion doesn't roar before he gets his prey. He roars after he gets his prey because he's sneaking up on it. Satan sneaks up upon us. Those temptations come in ways that we aren't anticipating. We aren't watching for them. We're trying to avoid them. But he'll slip in and get us. There'll be a thought that comes in our mind. There'll be a visual that comes across our eyes. There'll be an influence from someone outside or something outside of us. And all of a sudden, we find we've been caught in that temptation. Those thoughts start to come to our mind. He is sneaking up on us. And his desire, it says, he's looking for someone to devour. Now you think about a good old brisket sandwich. You think about that. You're going to devour that. Well, you want to eat every bit of it, don't you? You want to put that away. Well, that's exactly what Satan wants to do with us. He wants to completely ruin our witness. He wants to ruin our lives and take us captive to sin. In Romans, Paul said you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. You're a slave to the thing that you obey. Are we going to obey the sin and live that way, or are we going to live in righteousness? And Satan is wanting to ruin us. He will first start with our faith. He'll try to undermine it. He'll try to ask questions like he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden. And say, well, did God really say that? Did God really say you shouldn't eat of any of the trees in this? And they picked up on that, of course, and recognized that Satan was twisting the word. Tried to build doubt. He does that today with us. Tried to undermine our faith and therefore ruin us. Now in Luke 22:31, we have that example. Poor old Simon, he gets to be our example so many times. Simon Peter, as he's standing there in the trial area of our Lord, and he's standing around and someone comes up to him and says, well, you're one of his disciples. And remember, three times he said, no, I'm not. Well, he just said a little while before that he would never deny his Lord. But he did deny Christ three times. Jesus warned him before that. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Satan wanted to devour Simon. He wanted to ruin him so that his witness would be negated. What witness did Simon have after he was accused of that, after he had denied our Lord? He was in shame for a while until the Lord restored him again. Know the enemy. Know that Satan is your enemy and that he is prowling, looking for someone to devour. And then in verse 9, we're told to resist Satan and stand firm. It says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. A couple of ways to resist Satan. One, the scriptures tell us over in 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee. When you come into a position, a situation that's going to be tempting, run away from it. Turn around and go the other direction. You've had to do that before when temptation came upon you in one way or another. And you learned that it was better to run away from it than to stay in its presence and try to battle it. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful passions. Those things that we desired in our youth. We're no longer youth in the faith. We are growing into maturity in Christ-likeness and in our faith. And we need to behave in such a manner, being self-controlled and alert, knowing the enemy and standing firm. In 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul said, some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. What a great list of things we ought to be pursuing rather than the things of the world that are thrown at us. The world would tell us you got to have more, you got to do more, you got to be more popular, you got to do all of this. But God's word says pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Those are the things we should be pursuing. We should also resist. When we can't flee, when we can't run away from the temptation, when they're so subtle that you maybe can't even identify exactly what it is sometimes, then we must resist it. Well, as we said earlier, a lot of times that temptation comes into our minds first. We start thinking about it before we ever exercise on that, act on that sin. 2 Corinthians 10:5, a verse probably ought to pay close attention to. It says, take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. You ever think about that? Those thoughts come into our mind, and what do we do with them? Well, so often we'll play with it, won't we? We'll turn it over and over in our minds, and we'll get a little bit of joy out of that sinful thought, whether it's a bitterness, whether it's a lust, whether it's a greed, whatever it may be. We might play with that thought and think about it. The scriptures say, take it captive. Well, what does that mean? How do you take a thought captive? You can't grab hold of it with your hands. Well, you can say, first of all, that thought isn't consistent with God's word. Recognize that it's an error. Recognize that it didn't come from God. If it isn't from God, then who's it from? It must be from Satan. It's from our flesh, as I said, which is a willing ally with Satan. Take that thought captive. Say, that thought is not from God. And then replace that thought with thoughts that are from God. That thought isn't from God, but the scripture says, and then repeat that verse to you. That's why Psalm 119:11 is so important to us. Thy word have I hidden my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. Are you hiding God's word in your heart? Do you know the word of God so that when those other thoughts come into your mind, then you can replace it with godly thoughts? Perhaps there's a sin that has gripped you. One of those sins you've tried to put away so many times, but you can't. It's a bitterness that comes on you. It's an action. It's a thought that comes into your mind, a visual image that keeps coming back to you, and you toy with it rather than casting it out of your mind and covering it with God's word. How do you deal with those kind of things? The best way to deal with those things, where those thoughts come into your mind, is to begin quoting Scripture. If you don't know a long passage of Scripture, a whole chapter of one of the books of the Bible that you've memorized, or you don't know the whole Sermon on the Mount, or you don't know the whole Lord's Prayer maybe, keep getting shorter and shorter, you know a lot of verses that you've memorized over the years. Maybe you haven't repeated those to yourself and kept them fresh, but they will come back to you as you start practicing those and start quoting those instead of playing with that evil thought that has come into your mind. That's why that, as I said, Psalm 119:11 is so important. Hide God's word in your heart. So when those temptations come, you won't give in to them. You will not sin against our holy God. In James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? If I'll resist, if I'll stand firm, he will eventually leave. He will run away because we are building in that righteousness of quoting God's scripture. He hates scripture. He hates our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one in whom we trust. And he will flee from us if we will continue to grow in our faith and in the word of God. Ephesians 4:27, he says, don't give the devil a foothold. Sometimes we think, well, I can just play with this one little sin. That's not all that bad. And, you know, it's just everybody else is doing it, so I can do that as well. No, he says, don't give the devil a foothold. Stand firm. Resist the devil. Flee from the temptation. In verse 9, he says we should maintain our hope and our faith, and tells us why we should here. He says, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. How often have you been approached by someone for a little bit of advice, and you gave it to them, gave them some scriptural advice perhaps, and they said, oh, you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm talking about. You haven't been through what I've been through, so you can't help me. Well, that's not what the scripture says. There are people all around the world that have gone through the same kind of sufferings. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever temptation is coming your way, it's not new. It has been handled by someone else before. And God has prepared a way for us to escape from that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Oh yeah, sometimes the temptation gets beyond what we in our own flesh can bear. But if we rely as believers, rely upon the Holy Spirit who's dwelling within us, Christ's presence within us, we can overcome that temptation. It says, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Doesn't say he's going to take the temptation away, but he's going to provide us a way of escape, a way of not giving in to that temptation and to that sin. In verse 10, it says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace, the God who gives us all good things, he is standing beside us. He is dwelling within us, within every believer. And he has called us to eternal glory in Christ. That means he's called us to sanctification, to becoming more and more like Christ. And we know from Philippians 1:6 that he's working in us every day. Working in us, and he's going to keep working in us to make us like Christ. And he's going to continue to do that until Christ comes again. That's long enough, isn't it? If he'll do that till Christ comes again, we're okay. We've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, working on us, helping us to overcome sin and temptation. And he says, after you've suffered a little while, he will restore you. We might give in to the temptation. We might sin sometimes. But Christ will restore us because he is the God of all grace. And as we continue to practice fleeing from temptation, resisting the devil, doing those things that are righteous, as we practice those things, we're building strength in the faith and building that habit and that practice of godliness. And as we do that, He will make us firm and steadfast. That's what we want to be as believers. We don't want to be whipped around by every whim of doctrine. We don't want to be toyed with by Satan with all the temptations that come our way, with the many entertainment things that come our way, those things that cause us to think about things we shouldn't. No, we want to stand firm and steadfast for our Lord, bringing glory and honor to Him. In Micah 7:18, the prophet said, "Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? Do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depth of the sea." Our Lord takes our sin from us. He has borne our sin upon the cross, and He will take it away, never to be remembered anymore, that it might not be held against us because we have been given Christ's righteousness. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we receive His righteousness. So when we stand before the Father in judgment, He will say, "I see Jesus Christ, His sacrifice. I don't see your sin anymore. Your sin has been forgiven. It's as far away from you as the depths of the sea, as the east is from the west," it says in another place. Well, back to 1 Peter in chapter 1. Kind of a summary here, I think, just such a great passage. Beginning in verse 3, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." So Peter would tell us, first of all, be self-controlled, not giving in to the impulses. Be alert to the spiritual things around us and the temptations that might come our way. Know your enemy, the devil. Resist Satan, standing firm, maintaining our hope and faith, because there are greater things coming. Greater things coming. Our joy is to be fulfilled one day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we praise You now, thanking You, Lord, for Your Word, thanking You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit that dwells in each and every one of us as believers, that, Lord, we might overcome temptation. We might live in a way that's pleasing to You. We know that You've given us all that we need to live a life that's pleasing to You, a life of godliness. Lord, we don't need anything except Your Holy Spirit and Your Scriptures. We thank You for that, Lord. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here today who has not put their trust in You, that they will take this opportunity to give their life over to You now. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of commitment, a hymn of invitation at this time. It is
number 414, Softly and Tenderly.
And I'll be here in the front. If God has led you to make a decision to follow Him as Lord and Savior, please come and let us know that. If you want to just talk about things, have prayer, we will do that. Perhaps God is moving you to become a member of this church, to associate with us and stay with us and minister here. This will be a time to come and make that known. Brother Nathan.